May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the baptized one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, God's Son, our Savior, the Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel. I want to talk about the baptism of Christ today. Let us pray. Lord, ever cause your word to penetrate our hearts, our minds, for faith, for understanding, for insight, for repentance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how time flies. Just a little over 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Christmas, the birthday of Jesus, the shepherds, the angels. He's a little baby in a manger. And now, just a couple weeks later, he's 30 years old. He's being baptized in the Jordan River. How time flies. You see, we get right to the point of things in the church here. Because the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, get right to the point. All right, he's born, he's here, the Son of God, the Christ. Now, why'd he come? He came to teach, yes, do miracles, yes, but above all, to die on the cross, to rise again, to ascend, to give the Holy Spirit for the salvation of all world. Let's get to the point of things. And this all officially begins in Jesus' baptism when he's 30 years old. This makes it, in a sense, official. He begins his public ministry. The first 30 years is kind of private in the town of Nazareth, a carpenter's son. Not a whole lot of people probably realize who he really is. A few do, but not many. Now it's public. Let's get going, Jesus. Jesus' baptism is kind of like a pregame introduction. You go to the Tennessee game today against Kansas, and before the game, they'll shine the spotlight on every player and say the player's name, say his position, and the crowd goes crazy, and then they play the game. But first, the pregame introduction. Jesus' baptism, if you will, is kind of a pregame introduction. The spotlight on Jesus, this is who he is, and now let's get to work. What does one say about the baptism of Christ specifically? There are many, many beautiful angles one can have to teach about the baptism of Christ. There's a lot to say. The preacher's task is to narrow it down into a few minutes. So I'm going to do this today. A little Bible study with you, if you will. You might want to take some notes. I want to parallel the baptism of Christ to a great story in the Old Testament. If you're in Bible class today, Pat, you already know the answer. When you think of Jesus being baptized, the heavens opening, the dove coming down, the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Father, what Old Testament story might you think of? Well, we're going to relate it to the flood of Noah. All the events of Jesus' baptism, they have roots in the Old Testament. That helps us understand what's happening when he's baptized. If we don't know the Old Testament, we might not understand what's all going on here, what's happening. We need to know the Old Testament, and specifically the story of Noah and the flood. So let me cover the three miracles that happened. The heavens open, number one. The Spirit descends as a dove, number two. And the voice of the Father, number three. And connect that to Noah's flood, and then see the meaning in Jesus' baptism, and for that matter, our own baptisms. A lot here. We're digging kind of deep today, if you will. First of all, when Christ was baptized, the heavens open. What does that mean? The heavens open. Well, there's a lot one could say, but maybe perhaps Luke, the Holy Spirit, working through Luke, wants us to think back to Noah's day. And we are told specifically in the time of Noah that the heavens open, the same language. The heavens open. And in Noah's day, what happens when the heavens open? It's judgment. Torrents of rain come down and wipe out the earth. The heavens opening is judgment. God's wrath is coming. God is grieved that he made mankind. He's unhappy with all the evil, and he brings his wrath and anger through torrents of rain and a flood to wipe out all mankind. But first, before God opens the heavens and before the floodwaters come down, first, God in his great grace does what? God prepares a way to be saved. And that is the ark of Noah. God tells Noah, build the ark. And that ark was meant to save. Of course, not many were saved. Noah saved his own family, eight people. Thus, we have an eight-sided baptismal font to remind us of Noah's ark and Noah's flood. We are placed in the ark when we're baptized. And then, of course, the animals. The animals are smarter than human beings back in that day. As today, too often, animals are smarter than us. They know their maker. We often don't know our own maker. So God provides a way of salvation, an ark. Get in the ark. It's the only way to be saved from the upcoming wrath. Get in the ark and get in now, is the message tied back to Noah. And perhaps that helps us begin to understand Jesus' baptism. Christ is baptized, the heavens open. One way to look at it, one way. There's other ways. One way, an act of judgment. God's going to judge this earth. God's going to pour out his wrath on this earth. It's not going to be water, it's going to be fire. John the Baptist talks about that a little earlier. Fire's coming. God's going to pour out fire upon all this earth. The whole universe is going to wipe it all out. But first, before there's any fire, judgment, before any condemnation, first God has provided an ark, a new ark, the only way of salvation. And that ark is his son. Jesus is the new ark. He's the ark of our salvation along with the church. For the same, we're the body of Christ. That's the way to be saved from the upcoming judgment. Fire's coming. Wrath is coming. Judgment day's coming, but there's a way of salvation. Don't fear. It's Jesus. Get in the ark. Believe in Jesus. That's what's happening in Jesus' baptism. The whole crowd's learning, believe in this Jesus. He's the way to be saved. Be baptized in his name. That's why John the Baptist was baptizing, bringing people into the ark before judgment comes. That's what Jesus did throughout his ministry. He brought the poor, the lame disciples into the ark, into himself, to be saved. That's what's happening when we have a baptism, bringing people into the ark, Jesus. When you are baptized, we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into God, brought into the ark. Get in the ark if you're not already in, and be saved from the judgment of God, the wrath of God that's coming. What was Noah's main job when he was in the ark all those days and the flood came? What was his main job in the ark? And the seven other people and the animals? Stay in! No water skiing! Don't jump out for a swim! You're going to die! No sunbathing on the deck of the ark. Just stay in the ark. It was probably boring. This wasn't a cruise ship. It's probably boring. They probably smelled animals. They probably fought for all those days. But it was the way to be safe. Stay in. Don't get out of the ark. You're going to die. And so you've been baptized. You've been saved. You believe. You're in the ark. You don't have to get in. You're already in. God brought you in. Grace. Stay in. Judgment's coming. Don't leave the church. Don't leave the Word of God. Don't leave the sacrament. No, I don't need the sacrament. I don't need God's Word. Baloney. That's like jumping off the ark. You're a fool if you do that. Stay in the church. Even though the church, much like the ark, sometimes is boring. Sometimes we act like animals and we smell each other and we stink and we fight. Don't leave the church. It's the body of Christ. It's the ark. Stay in. Persevere. Secondly, we're told the Holy Spirit comes as a dove. Well, we can really connect this easily to Noah's day. Again, a tie back to Noah to help us understand all the meaning here. As we know, the flood comes. Noah and his family and the animals are in the ark. Then the Bible tells us back in Genesis, the ark comes to rest on a mountain. That's significant. I'll call that in a second here. The ark comes to rest on a mountain, Mount Ararat. And there's still floodwaters all around. And Noah and his family, as they're resting there on the mountain and floodwaters on them, they must be asking a question. What's going to happen to us? Is God's anger really appeased? Are we ever going to inhabit the earth again and walk on dry land and enjoy the beauty of creation? Are we ever going to have the new life again? Is God still angry at us? He's going to send another flood and wipe us out too? Are we going to be goners? What's going to happen? Are we going to have new life, inhabit the earth, or is this going to be it? Just sitting up here on a mountain and we all die here in the ark. Of course, Noah sends out a raven to test out to see if there's dry land yet, new life. The raven goes to and fro. Then he sends out a dove. The dove comes back, which means there's no dry land yet. Oh, that's kind of bad news. No dry landing. He sends out the dove again. And the dove brings back what? An olive branch? Ah, there's dry land. We're going to inhabit the earth. New life. Peace with God. His anger is over. No more floods. Then he sends out a dove again, and the dove doesn't come back, which means there's dry land. The dove settled somewhere. So the dove's a symbol of new life. Peace with God. New life. You're going to inhabit the earth. And so now the dove, the Holy Spirit, lands on Jesus. The lesson is simple. There's new life in Jesus. You have peace with God through Jesus, for he will die for the sins of the world. He will appease the Father's wrath once and for all when he dies on the cross. There's new life in Christ. In Christ, we escape the judgment of God's wrath, but more so, we also have new life in the kingdom of God. We're going to inhabit the new earth and the new heaven and live forever and ever in the resurrection of our bodies. We're not just going to be here in the church forever on the earth. Who wants to be in the church forever on the earth? It's a wonderful place. It saves us. But it's the ark. I don't want to be an ark forever. I want to live forever. I want to have a new heaven and a new earth and have glory with God and resurrection with all of you. That's what awaits us, all indicated by the dove, the Holy Spirit. For the ark rests on a mountain. The ark, Jesus, comes to rest on a mountain called Mount Calvary. And when Christ is dead on Mount Calvary, the question of the disciples, the followers, must be, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? We just going to die too? We going to be killed? Is this it? Or will we live? Will he rise again, which he said he would? Is there new life? Will we go to heaven? We going to walk on the gold streets? What's going to happen? Easter tells us on the third day, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. There's new life. Christ then ascends 40 days later. He gives the Spirit 50 days after his resurrection. And there's new life even now. There's forgiveness of sins. There's peace with God. There's joy in the Holy Spirit. Patience and love and gentleness and kindness. We're a new creation in Christ right now. And all that comes to a head in the resurrection of our bodies in heaven, where we will all walk on the new earth in the new heavens with God forever and ever. So you see, our baptism saves us from the judgment of God. Or I escape God's wrath, I'm not going to go to hell. Yes, that's true, but there's more. It also saves us into God's kingdom, into heaven, into something new and better. I'm saved from that into this. All that's baptism. Think of it this way. This past, when was our great snowstorm of 2010? Just a couple days ago. Man, it was wild out there, wasn't it? Who had trouble coming to church today? I guess I shouldn't mock this too much. But I shouldn't mock it at all. What happened Thursday? Thursday, we got the snow, right? And Tom and I, we had to go to Ingles because everybody else was there. We figured we had to go to get our milk. Going to be bogged in for a week or two here. So we went to Ingles, and I tell you, I had about a two-mile drive back, and it was snowing, and cars weren't moving. And we were kind of stuck on the street. It was very narrow, and you could fall off the sides, and it was kind of slick, and nobody was moving on that road, just inching along. And I thought to myself, well, I'm safe. I'm in my van. I'm safe from the elements, the snow, the wind, the ice. I'm safe. This van will protect me here. I'm just inching along. But is that all I wanted? Was to be in my van and have the heater on and talk to my son. I like talking to my son. We talk sports, of course. Is that all I wanted, was to sit there in the van? No, I want to get home. I want to get home. Kick my feet up. Chilly. Rejoice there's a day off from school, right, kids? And enjoy home with the family. And, of course, we made it home by the grace of God. Baptism, we're placed into the ark. Into the van, if you will. We escape the judgment of God. That's wonderful, incredible. That's not all there is. We want to go home, like Noah. We want to go home. We want to inhabit the earth, and that's heaven, where we get to go home, kick our feet up, feast with God forever and ever. And all that happens when we're baptized. And then finally, God the Father can't contain himself. He bursts out, "You are my son. My beloved son, with you I'm well pleased." Why is the Father just burst out like he can't control himself? I mean, rarely does God the Father speak from the heavens. He does here at Jesus' baptism. Why here? Well, we might connect it back to Noah's day again. After Noah gets out of the ark, he inhabits the earth. Everything's good, peace with God, new life, a new start. What's the first thing Noah does? He makes a sacrifice. Go back and read the words. The text says that the aroma of his sacrifice, the aroma was pleasing to God. Same word. The aroma of the sacrifice was pleasing to God. And God promises never again to send a flood. He puts the rainbow in the sky. And so this might help us to understand the words of the Father. They mean a lot. But the Father says, he bursts out, "You're my son. With you I'm well pleased." Why is he so well pleased right then and there? Because Jesus, in his baptism, is officially submitted to be the once and for all sacrifice for our sins. It was always the intention all along, but now it's official and public. Jesus will be the Lamb of sacrifice, the pleasing sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. And already the Father, if you will, can smell the aroma of the sacrifice, even though it won't happen for 3 years. The Father already smells the body and blood of his Son, which is perfect and righteous. And already, it's pleasing. The world's going to be saved. We're going to be one again. And already the Father smells the aroma, if you will, of the sacrifice. You know, if you make barbecue ribs, what do you smell before you ever eat them? Am I making you hungry? When the neighbor's cooking barbecue ribs, go get some ribs in. Go get some barbecue sauce. We got to have some. You just smell the aroma and you're so hungry. You can't wait to eat. And that's the mood of the Father at Jesus' baptism. This son of mine is so pleasing. He's perfect. He's righteous. And I can already smell his sacrifice, which will bring atonement for the sins of the whole world. And so I have to burst out to tell the world, this is my son, and he will die for the sins of the world. And it's because of the death of Jesus, because of his sacrifice, that we escape the judgment of God and that we have new life in heaven. So the foundation of all that is that he'll be the sacrifice on the cross. A lot here. I could go on longer, but I'll conclude with that. Time is short. The church year is short in the end. Christ is 30 years old. We rejoice in his baptism today. Who is he? He's the ark of our salvation. You escape God's judgment in him. Who is he? He's the one who brings the Holy Spirit, new life, eternal life, the kingdom of God, heaven. He'll take us there. Who is he? He's the perfect, pleasing sacrifice, the Lamb, for all of our sins. That's who he is. Praise be to Jesus for his baptism. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's sing the